It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. John Rahm wins the Masters. He shoots 12 under par over the 72 holes and won by 4 shots over Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka. Mickelson with a final round 65 to climb into a tie for second place and put pressure on John Rahm. Rahm able to make some birdies on the backside while Brooks Koepka couldn't really get on track. Birdie, bogey, birdie, birdie, bogey. And Koepka finished at -8. Jordan Spieth at -7. Patrick Reed at -7. And Russell Henley at -7. They all tied for fourth. John Rahm becomes the fourth Spaniard to put on the green jacket and win the Masters. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, I sit down with Little Rock Baseball head coach Chris Curry. Now, Coach Curry doesn't play the game of golf, but the Little Rock Trojans have a benefit golf tournament every fall, and Chris Curry knows a little bit about the game, and it's interesting to hear him talk golf while being a baseball coach, and does he let his baseball players play the game of golf? I think you'll be interested to hear his response. That's coming up after the break. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Groups. They are the leader when it comes to managing hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you go online, bphotels.com, to find a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. We're back after this. Stay with us.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. The economy is changing slowly but surely. The market is slowing down in a gradual slide. Not an emergency yet, the sky is not falling, but a change is coming. When times are good, auctions make buyers compete to buy at the highest market value. When the economy gets tough, auctions force buyers to make a purchase decision. Either way, auctions get the highest return for a seller and a strong deal for a buyer. With an experienced auction company, it's a simple process. Go to blackmanauctions.com for more information. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
With all the decisions you need to make about what to do in El Dorado, finding a place to stay is an easy one. The Haywood is uniquely positioned to make your stay one to treasure. Located in the historic Union Square District of El Dorado, the Haywood offers luxurious accommodations that feature contemporary, colorful rooms with high-quality bedding, comfortable baths with walk-in showers, and a spacious workspace with stylish plantation shutters that are unique additions to the stunning decor in a non-smoking environment. Make the Haywood your home away from home the next time you visit El Dorado.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. On the tee, Chris Curry.
Coach Curry, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. And this is a little different for those of you listening. That Coach is not a golfer. He's a baseball coach for the Little Rock Trojans. But the reason I wanted to have you on is you guys have a golf tournament to where you help raise funds to support the baseball program at Little Rock.
We do. First of all, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. It's very interesting. I follow the podcast, and you and I have known each other a long time, so good to catch up. But yeah, there are a lot of golf slash baseball fans. They seem to overlap. I know they do on our team and with our fans and parents. And so we figure every year what better way to bring them together than, you know, a fall golf tournament. It's also open to our alumni. Austin Pfeiffer comes to mind. He's a very good golfer, I'm told. As you mentioned, I'm not a golfer. I just wasn't raised around it. My dad didn't play. We hunted. But then, to be honest, later in my career, as I started realizing I might have a chance to play baseball at a higher level, I started worrying about maintaining my baseball swing, let alone my golf swing at the same time. I wasn't a good enough athlete. But, no, we play out at Eagle Hill, and they do a great job. And Highland Dairy, David Rowe and the Colemans do a great job of, you know, giving us good food, and we have some prizes, and it's a good fundraiser for our program.
You mentioned David Rowe. I grew up with his kids down at Rebsman Golf Course in the summers, and I saw them every week, it seemed like. I mean, religiously. And I know they played baseball too, but they played a lot of golf, and David Rowe and his wife Margo, they love to play the game of golf. And so they are big supporters of Little Rock baseball, but they are also part of Highland Dairy. David Rowe, long time. They call him Peanut.
That's right.
He's been there forever working with the Colemans and stuff. But they are ones that really support Little Rock baseball and help out with that golf tournament.
They're one of the first supporters. When I, you know, tell the old story, when I got the job the next day, David Rowe is banging on the office door. And it starts with a hug, and then let's get to work. What do we need to do? And it started with things like the golf tournament, the banquet, and all the things they do behind the scenes, they being Highland Dairy and the Colemans and David Rowe. David and Margo play at least a couple of times a week when it's good weather. And then, as you mentioned, in Little League, I played with Clay Rowe in Little League Baseball, and he is he's a very good golfer for our tournament. I think
it's a scramble.
Yes, he carries the Rowe family. Let's put it like that. So they're a good golfing family, and Walt will play, and Charlie and Sherb. Sherb and I, we drive the snack cart around. That's our job, and so we bring everybody Highland Dairy lemonade and chocolate milk and snacks and shoot the breeze. And it's just a fun time. But we get a lot of families come in. So we have it correspond with our big fall weekend. And so what we try to do is have the golf tournament maybe on a Friday, the day before or the Monday after, when we have our big fall scrimmage, so that families can make a weekend of it. And then alumni do the same thing. Sam Vogel puts together a team and some other guys, Ben Crumpton, and so it's always cool to have them.
So it's usually in October?
Yes. Yes, it's in October. We want to organize it around when we're playing a scrimmage,
sure,
or our pitchers are built up. We try to catch the weather right there before it turns, and so we try to usually get it in the 70s. And we've been pretty lucky the last few years of having it that way.
You say you're not a golfer, Chris, but have you ever thought about just picking up a club and trying it out?
I have picked up a club. I have swung a golf club. I've hit some balls at the range. I have what golfers tell me. I've got the classic baseball wrist turnover, so I hit it on the toe.
Yeah.
Is that? Am I speaking correctly?
Yep.
I hit it on the toe. I'm told with a few lessons that could get straightened out, but then I would open up a new habit and hobby that my wife may not be happy with, because I am a competitor still, even though my athletic abilities are not what they used to be. I'm still a competitor, and all my buddies who play, and you, and they're like, once you start, you're going to want to be good at it, and it takes time and practice. And so, but I have picked them up. I know we played when I was working at Arkansas, we played in the Tom Pagnozzi tournament, and Clay Goodwin, my good friend up there, I tried to tell him I was bad, and he thought I was being humble, or, you know, and no, I'm bad. And after one swing, he said, "Okay, you're good. You can just drive the cart."
Oh, well, wow,
yeah,
that bad.
It didn't hurt my feelings. I've never played, so I don't square it up.
I know, being a baseball coach, and specifically a collegiate baseball coach, your games are on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's when most major golf tournaments are, not just majors, but PGA Tour and all of those are played. Do you ever get to watch? And when you do, who do you like to watch?
I do enjoy watching. Now, the Masters week, I think that's really cool. Now, for weird reasons, I'm kind of a grass and turf guy because I'm a baseball coach. Yep. So I really am interested in how well-kept and manicured that course is. One cool shot I saw at the end of the day is they had like six mowers lined up with lights on them. I know you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, boy, how fast could we mow our outfield if we had six mowers going side by side. But I really enjoy that. But that is the Super Bowl, the World Series of golf. And so I'm always interested to see people compete with the most pressure and get it done.
Yeah.
And I have respect for that.
And it's also cool, too, Coach, I think that when you look at the way those mowers operate and how they mow, the way the grass lays.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at it from one angle, it's dark. You look at it the other way and it's light. You can do that on your baseball field and the outfield, too. You can mow patterns if you want to, can't you?
Yes, yes. We have a fairway mower. We have one. It's much older than the ones and not as nicer as the ones at Augusta. But the rollers on the front, as you know, they lay the grass a certain way. If you were to stand on the other side, it would be opposite. It gives that checkerboard look. I think it's therapeutic. I think people just like seeing well-mowed grass. I even like a pattern in my front yard, you know. So
Does your wife?
She doesn't care. She just wanted it cut.
So you mow the grass at home and here as well?
Yes.
Or do you not mow here anymore?
I mow sometimes. I love mowing. It's therapy for me. It's quiet. It's, you know, you can't hear the phone. That's a good excuse to not take a phone call. I have a great staff, Josh Aguilar, Tyler Sanders, who do it and do it well. The key is that the measure of a mower is how straight your lines are. That's what everybody judges you on. And so they've gotten really good at it. I'm not above it. There's other things that take my time. But, yeah, I like to mow from time to time. I like mowing at home also. That's something. I just like a nice lawn.
Who is must-see TV when they're playing golf and playing well for you?
Well, I think you got to watch Tiger. I grew up as when he was coming up. You know, we're similar age, and so I really respect how much he battles through his injuries, and then even personal, you know, off the course battles. He's come back, you know, Phil Mickelson with all his crazy innovative shots.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. But to take it kind of a different direction for me, you know, I also grew up watching the 90s Braves. And so I always heard that John Smoltz and Maddox and Glavine and those guys always used to play and, you know, were very serious about it at times. And then when I was in spring training for 9 years, I was never in spring training with those big leaguers, but all those pitchers in the afternoon had tee times. Of course, you're in Scottsdale.
Right. Plenty of golf courses to play.
Yes, in the spring. And so those courses are primed and high level, I'm told. Bryce Mulder and I were friends in high school. We went to school together, his family, my family. So I followed Bryce in his career. And I just like watching – I like watching the game. I'm really impressed, being a baseball guy, with exit velocities and launch angles, how far and how hard they're hitting the ball these days. Bryson.
DeChambeau.
Yes. I like watching him hit the ball.
Yeah.
But also, these guys that make these putts with the angles and the slopes and the shapes, that's impressive. That on my feed, I saw one where I think it was Jack Nicklaus was trying to talk a guy into making a putt, and the guy said, "You can't make that putt." And he's like, "You want me to show you?" And he just sinks it, and it's not too far ago. That having putted a very little bit, that's tougher than it looks.
Yeah, you got to know how to read the greens.
Read it. You got to read the shape and the lie.
It's like reading a pitch in baseball.
Yes, yes. It's I'm impressed by golfers.
You brought up Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz.
Right.
Are pitchers better golfers than the rest of the team?
Yes, and it starts with pitchers' batting practice. So notoriously, even our pitchers on our team, when you and this is not a knock at pitchers or golfers, but when you slow the ball down to batting practice speed – no one has more power than our pitchers. They're big guys. they have some leverage and some length in their swing, mm-hmm. like a golfer. And so if you want to just launch baseballs like a tee shot, you get the pitchers out there. The problem where our pitchers have a problem, you turn up to 90 miles an hour, and those long arms and legs don't work very, very – but you take them out to a golf course, the pitchers all have a set of clubs. They all are like pros and or act like pros, try to look like pros. Mm-hmm. And it is notoriously the pitchers. But they also are on a 5-day rotation.
Right.
Or a 7-day rotation. So they've got the days off that position players don't have.
Isn't that something? So I mean, they get the paid the big bucks, and yes. then they can take a couple of days off. They yes. can take the clubs with them on road trips. And who yes. knows? Hey, you go play out in San Francisco, you might be able to slip down to Pebble and play around.
That's the life. And they know their schedule. But pitching is how you win championships. And so if they're shutting them down every 5 days, then a round of golf is fine. Plus, they're not messing up their swings.
Would you be opposed to a position player maybe in the middle of the week playing a round of golf?
No, I wouldn't, as long as they could maintain their swing. You know, Andrew Pickering grew up playing golf, and he and his dad, Jay, make it a father-son trip in the summer, and they mm-hmm. play a lot. And Andrew's got a beautiful left-handed golf swing. And as long as you're able to maintain it and understand, I think the more athletic you are, the more you're able to maintain both strokes.
Just for clarification, you might hear thunder in the background and everything as this is going on. We are recording this in the middle of a thunderstorm in Coach's office, which is decorated with nice memorabilia. I mean, you've got some gifts in here that reflect on what I think is probably one of the biggest victories in your program's history, and that was when you guys went to Fayetteville the first time ever in an official game,
right,
and knocked off the Arkansas Razorbacks at Baum Walker Stadium.
Yes, and in college baseball, anything can happen on a Tuesday night midweek.
Mm-hmm.
And the significance of that game is that it was the first in-state competition, and we were fortunate enough to go up there and play well and win. And so it was important to a lot of people, not just for the score, but just for the opening up of competition for in-state at the game went our way, and so people have been kind enough to give me some gifts, like I have the lineup card and you know, I've got the newspaper, and just more because it was a historic game. You know, other than now it's a Tuesday night in college baseball where literally anything can happen, just check the scores. But that was an important night in our program because I think it showed that we can compete on certain nights with anybody in the country. Now you start playing league play on the weekend, that tests your depth, that mm-hmm. tests your roster, and that can be tough. But it showed that Arkansas baseball across the board, all the schools are competitive. All of them do a good job of putting good players on the field, and the majority of them are Arkansas players. So I think it's just a small, small piece of a little bit of Arkansas sports history.
Chris, you're in the first year of the Ohio Valley Conference, a change from the Sun Belt for Little Rock Athletics. I went through it with basketball. It's different.
Yes.
Some of the towns are much smaller. Luckily, you guys don't have to worry about winter weather.
Right.
You do have to worry about storms and things like that. But your thoughts on the Ohio Valley and the caliber of baseball that is in the Ohio Valley. We saw where Eastern Illinois went to Fayetteville and won a game.
They did. And the year before that, I think SEMO won one or two games and have always been good. And so we've always had respect and known about the Ohio Valley. We've actually played the Ohio Valley a lot in non-conference play. The year Tennessee Tech won 50 games and went to the Super Regional at Austin, we had those guys for a three-game series. Had no idea. It was like second weekend. It was cold. Had no idea they were going to be that good and just walked into a buzzsaw. Won on Sunday and honestly felt like we'd won the World Series because that team was that good.
Wow.
They beat Vanderbilt that year.
Yeah.
Again, they won their regional, I think, went to Austin. But Eastern Illinois, as you mentioned, had a first-rounder go to the Yankees a couple of years ago, a shortstop. And so the caliber is outstanding. It is upper Midwest, and we're used to traveling more, you know, Texas, Georgia, Mississippi, Then we go out east, we used to, with Coastal and all that. So that's a little different, but the travel is a little friendlier. Most of those, if not all, are bus trips. We just got back from Cape Girardeau and had a tough series with them. Doubleheader because of the storms, which thankfully we got out of town before the storms hit, but we were able to watch on the news live, and our hearts go out to all the people that were affected. And even Coach Sanders' house, everybody is safe, but his house got hit a little bit. And so definitely a difference with the Ohio Valley. However, we feel like that we're able to match up week in and week out and compete at the top with our facilities, with the resources that we have. We're the southernmost school. I think that helps for recruiting, especially you mentioned baseball being played outside in the spring. We're able to play more home games early in the year. I think that matters. And then the opponents we're able to play. We keep the in-state opponents for us and our fans. And so I think the Ohio Valley is going to be a good fit for us.
A couple of questions I like to ask my guest on this podcast. And since you don't play golf, I'm going to change it up a little bit.
All right.
You've seen golf courses.
Oh, yeah.
Best one you've ever seen in your mind?
Well, of course, there's Augusta. I find it interesting. You mentioned John Daly, and I neglected to say anytime John Daly's playing, you got to watch.
Okay.
And so sure. John Daly, and again, I'm aging myself, but I was coming up when John Daly was winning the British Open.
He won the British in 95, but he won the PGA before that at Belle Reve in St. Louis.
Yes. There, I find the British courses with the tall grass interesting. I like to see how they play the wind, and I like to see how they play the conditions, because that kind of overlaps with baseball. You might have the wind blowing in. You might have the wind blowing out. I also have seen, being in spring training, the beautiful courses in Scottsdale. And so there's nothing finer than 72 degrees, no wind, perfectly manicured grass.
If you could take that every day, that'd just be perfect, wouldn't it?
That is golf heaven. Pebble Beach is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Right there on the cliffs. Is that the one?
Yeah.
I think those.
Carmel Bay.
There you go. One, literally right there on the water. I don't have any frame of reference being an Arkansan for that, and so I can't imagine just hitting a golf shot straight while you got the ocean right there.
It's something else, I can tell you that. All right, fantasy foursome. This is fantasy now, so you're a golfer. So three others that you would like to play a round of golf with, who would it be?
Well, let's preface this by saying not all are good golfers that I know about. I'd love to play a round of golf with Skip Bertman.
Oh, wow, yes. Former coach at LSU.
I have a lot of respect for him. These will be coaches for me. Scott Berry, who's a mentor of mine. I played for him at Southern Miss. He's at Southern Miss now. I played for him at Meridian. I'd throw my dad in there because he would be the one to do some of the trash talking and keeping
really?
Everybody on edge. Yes,
he's
he's got a quick wit. And then I think you got to go back in history a little bit, not to get too deep on you. But I'm kind of a General Patton, an Eisenhower, Teddy Roosevelt. I'd like to hear from one of those guys. I'm not trying to get too deep on you, but I'm just thinking of around the golf is not just around the golf. It's to talk and get to know somebody. There's business deals made. There's friendships. There's, you know, it's lighthearted. Sometimes it can be deep. And so if you've got to cover a lot of ground intellectually and in a conversation, that group right there would cover everything.
Yes, they would. You've got 4 hours at least to do it. Chris, your golf tournament that comes up this fall, how can people that might be listening to this want to find out about it, might even want to put a team in it?
Shoot me an email. We'll announce the details. We usually try to do that right when fall practice begins so folks can plan for that. But shoot me an email at cmcurry@ualr.edu, and I will make sure that you get a personal email from me with a registration form. You can register online when we get the link live. And it's not Augusta. It's not Pebble Beach.
But it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's a well-kept course here locally that supports them at Eagle Hills. And it's good golf course food, and it's most importantly, our players are out there and our players are around intermingling and talking with our supporters. And I think that's the biggest deal, is we have practice in the morning or later and make sure that our guys are out there shaking hands and saying thank you to all the golfers, because ultimately it goes to support Little Rock baseball.
C.M. Curry, that's C-U-R-R-Y.
Correct, two R's. C-M-C-U-R-R-Y at UAR.edu.
Chris, thanks so much for the time.
Trey, appreciate you, man.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. The economy is changing slowly but surely. The market is slowing down in a gradual slide. Not an emergency yet. The sky is not falling, but a change is coming. When times are good, auctions make buyers compete to buy at the highest market value. When the economy gets tough, auctions force buyers to make a purchase decision. Either way, auctions get the highest return for a seller and a strong deal for a buyer. With an experienced auction company, it's a simple process. Go to BlackmanAuctions.com for more information. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Stayridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass. Blackman Auctions, one of our great sponsors of From the Shortgrass. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. To find out their full list of upcoming auctions, go to their website, blackmanauctions.com. Thomas and the guys, they do a great job at Blackman Auctions, and we want to thank them for their sponsorship. On the tee, it's time for our rules segment. Here's PGA Master Professional Adam Carney.
Adam, this comes from Eric in Pine Bluff. He asks, what is a way to correctly put a marking on your ball so you can identify it?
The player does have the responsibility of identifying his golf ball when it's in play. He does not have a responsibility, or there's no rule that he has to mark his golf ball at all, although it can make it kind of challenging to identify your golf ball if you happen to be playing a Titleist Pro V1 golf ball.
A number one.
And it's a number one. I mean, how many are out there? So, you know, there's you can go full Duffy Waldorf if you want to, where he'd have his kids, like,
color
his golf balls and put pictures on there. You can put a line. You can use dots. You can I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do.
You can buy them from the manufacturer with initials or markings on them?
You can. And you know, I have my grandfather nickname on the side of my golf balls. Titleist does that for me. But
and what is that nickname?
That would be Bops, B-O-P-S. Yeah,
Bops.
My granddaughter couldn't pronounce Papa when she was little, which was what my dad was, and it was Bops, and it turned into Bops. So now even my golf shoes say Bops on them. But anyway,
our rules guru is Bops.
That's correct. Every grandpa's got one. Trust me, it's the greatest naming you can ever have. It's the best. So I love being called Bops. But, you know, the other thing to consider is, how do you know if you're playing a Titleist one that says Bops on the side of it? How can we be sure that's your golf ball? Because maybe you hit one over there in a previous round. So what I would do if I was playing a tournament that was four rounds, practice rounds, I would black out the number. Round one, I played ones. Round two, I played twos. Round three, I played threes. Round four, I played fours. And I had my identifying mark on the side of it, so there's never any question. That's one way you can get, you know, so if you buy a dozen golf balls for however many rounds you're playing, round one, you're playing a one. Round two, you're playing a two. And if it's a 36-hole event, you're done.
Or if it's a 36-hole, 54, 72, whatever.
Yeah.
If you don't lose a golf ball on round one, and you want to have the same marking on a brand new ball for round two, you can do that.
Yep, you can. It's a player responsibility to be able to identify their golf ball. And so, you know, if you don't put any identifying marks on the golf ball, you know, you are required to be able to identify it and say, yep, so that's my mark right there.
Eric in Pine Bluff, thanks for the question. If you've got a question on the rules of golf, send us an email, fromtheshortgrass@gmail.com.
That's it for this edition of From the Shortgrass. I want to leave you with this quote from Seve Ballesteros. He said, I'd like to see the fairways more narrow. Then everybody would have to play from the rough, not just me. Well, he played from the short grass more times than not. I hope you remember to find your ball mark on the green and fix it and a couple of more, and I'll see you soon from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.